Presentations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, here on this December 31st, last day of 2017. And, of course, depending on where in the world you are, it might be 2018 already. I'm reminded of the time when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, when you went to the far western end of the island of Tutuila in American Samoa, you could see the eastern end of the island of Upolu, the independent country of Samoa. And since we were there, they redrew the international dateline. And I think it's about 30 miles from one end of the one island to the other. And what's kind of unusual today is if you were standing there at the right time, you would be able to look into tomorrow. From American Samoa, you could look over to Savai'i because it's on the other side of the international dateline. You literally could see tomorrow. Of course, if you were in Savai'i over there looking back to the east into American Samoa there in the island of Tutuila, you'd be looking into the past. So, and it's really kind of neat sort of situation. Somebody asked me today at church, said, oh, what's, or was it church or at nursing home service today? One or the other. Say, what's the purpose of a dateline? What do we need that for? And I said, well, you live on a globe and you have to have that somewhere. And they conveniently put it in the Pacific Ocean. And at any rate, that's where it's at. Well, welcome to the program tonight. I hope you're warm wherever you're at. This cold weather is really dipping down into the heartland of the United States here this week. And here in Northeast Ohio, we left our house. I think we got home from church. I looked at the thermometer. It was -1. Admittedly, I live in a small valley. It was -1, and by the time we left to come up here, probably about an hour and a half later, something like that, it was down to -3, and then we got to the station up here, and we're up closer to Lake Erie, of course, so it moderates the climate. We're a balmy 10 degrees sitting outside the studios of AM 1220, The Word, here in Independence, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. And I trust that wherever you're at, you might be a little warmer than 10, but unfortunately, that's not the case. Unless, of course, you're down in Tampa listening to us on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Probably a little bit warmer down there, I would guess, than up here in northeastern Ohio. But I've heard that the cold is going pretty far south, so most of the eastern half of the United States is under a blast of Arctic polar air coming down out of Canada. And it's getting cold enough that they actually were talking on something that I saw. I was joking, saying before too long, get another winter or something like this, and they'll be talking about the ice age coming, and another 10 years, all people will be talking about is the coming ice age, and people who are in their 20s and 30s now will be saying to their kids and grandkids, oh, back when I was young, it was the global warming was coming, and they'll look at them and say, what are you talking about? It's an ice age. Well, that's kind of like it was in the 70s. The coldest temperature on December 31st in northeastern Ohio, at least out at Cleveland Hopkins Airport, I think was -17, I think it was. And that was in 1976. And if you look at the records for 1976, 77, 78, 79, in that time frame, you know, articles on in the newspapers, in the magazines, specials on TV, the coming ice age, and New York is going to be covered with ice, and Cleveland was going to be covered with ice, you know, icebergs in Lake Erie, so to speak, and it's probably too late to stop it. In 5 to 10 years, the glaciers are going to come down out of Canada and bury us all, but we need to raise taxes, and we need to have people stop stop driving their cars and not turn up their thermostats so much in the wintertime or cool it too much in the summertime. We need to cut back on people's use of fossil fuels. And then maybe then we might possibly be able to slow the global cooling and help hold off the ice age, but it's probably too late. Well, the ice age didn't come, and so they switched to global warming because we had a little bit of a warming period, but now we're in a definitely in a cooling off period, and I've been reading more articles where they're saying, you know, contrary to the best hopes of the global warming alarmists, the globe seems to be getting a little bit cooler, and well, one winter does not a trend make, but any rate, it's cold, and if you're outside or driving around in it, you know it's cold, and excuse me, get choked up just thinking about it. But at any rate, it's wintertime. That's what it is. And it comes with the territory living here in northeastern Ohio. And it's just that when you're down in Florida, you don't want freezing temperatures, do you? That's why people leave Ohio. They go down there to avoid those freezing temperatures in the wintertime. But wherever you're at, I hope that you'll stay listening to us tonight. And it's the end of the year. It's the end of 2017. And certainly want to wish you a happy and blessed new year for the coming year. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us tonight. We'll be on until midnight. Of course, in radio time, that means we end just a minute or a couple minutes before midnight. So I will not be on the air at midnight. It'll be about 3 minutes after. So I'll celebrate the new year packing up my stuff and getting ready to leave the studio. That's how I'll celebrate the new year here. But wherever you're at, I hope you're warm, and I hope you have a blessed evening and an enjoyable evening, and looking forward to another year in which to serve the Lord. Let's see. I don't think we opened our program in prayer yet, so we'll go ahead and do that right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to come together this evening. Thank you for the opportunity that we have that we can finish out the year and looking into your word, and we just pray that we could be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us, Lord, to be able to point people to Christ and to help people to understand your word. And again, as we look forward to a new year coming, we just pray that you would bless and use us for your glory in the coming year. And we just thank you again. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find out more about us by going online at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can go on Facebook to our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. We'd love to have you visit our page, like our page there, and follow us on Facebook. Try to get some articles and different topics and things on there that I find interesting as I'm researching different topics and looking at different things. I post things on there. Excuse me. And then, of course, our website at Live with Pastor Al. Got some information about myself. You can listen to past programs there. You can also find out information about our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to visit if you're in Northeast Ohio, or if you're passing through. We're right midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, right on Interstate 77, where Interstate 77 crosses the Ohio Turnpike. That's Interstate 80. And we're located in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road, Richfield, Ohio. That's Northern Summit County. And we meet there every Sunday morning we have a morning Bible study at 10 a.m. I have to confess, not being a morning person and having a number of not morning persons there, we're kind of slow getting started. It seems to be once the coffee pot gets perking along, we get going a little bit more. But then our morning worship service is at 11 o'clock, and then our evening worship service at 6 p.m. And currently right now on our morning Bible study, we're looking at a series of proofs of God's existence. And what we're on right now is looking at how morality proves God's existence. And then during the 11 o'clock hour, I'm currently preaching through the book of Romans, and we're poised to finish Romans chapter 16 here in the next week or two. And then on Sunday evenings, we're going through the book of Psalms, just finished Psalm 132. Now, 132, that's a lot of psalms, especially when you consider the 119th psalm. We broke up into each of its stanzas, I think. What was that, 22 stanzas, I think it was? And we broke that up into that. So we've been in the psalms for a while, but it has been a joy preaching through them. A lot of good stuff there. And then, of course, we're there every Friday night from 7 o'clock in the evening till 9, an informal Bible study. And we have a number of people who come for that. And it's a place like with the radio program. In fact, our radio program grew out of our Friday night Bible study. It gives you a chance to ask questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And so we would love to have you join us there. If you're not doing anything on Friday night or you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you visit us. Well, we're going to get on to some other things here this evening and just touching on a number of things here as we close out the year. I'm going to, I better give out their phone numbers here. 888-677-9673 is the toll-free number to the station here. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you this evening. And I've got a question that I want to address here in a few minutes dealing with Michael the Archangel. I had a question online that I came across, and somebody was asking for information on Michael the Archangel and where he is, what's happening with him, and there was a little bit of back and forth in terms of some things that some other people had suggested about him. Some people, of course, were confusing him with Jesus Christ himself and some things there. So we'll touch on some of that stuff, Lord willing, here in a little bit. But before I get to that, I want to remind you of some things that are coming up here. You know, I'm certainly not an astronomer, but I like going out and looking at the night sky, and there's a couple things coming up that I wanted to mention. If you're at all interested in looking up at the night sky, God put the moon up there, and he put the stars up there, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, for signs and for seasons and things like that, and it's just interesting to look at sometimes. There's a full moon going to be tomorrow night. The full moon, it's a super moon. Remember, we were talking about this earlier in December about the supermoon. The last full moon was a supermoon. We have this unusual conjunction of three supermoons in a row. I don't think it means anything particular in a prophetic scheme of things. I just think it's kind of interesting. And a supermoon is when you have a full moon, when the moon is at about its closest approach to the Earth in its orbit. And that's what it was earlier in December. That's what it will be tomorrow. And then a third supermoon at the end of the month. It's actually a super blue moon on January 31st. So you get January 1st is the, I think it's the full wolf moon, and it's going to be a super moon. And then January 31st, they call that a blue moon when you have two full moons in one month. The second one's called a blue moon. I think it's just because it's going to be cold. But it's a super moon as well. And with these super moons, the moon is not any larger than what it normally is. It's just a little bit closer to the Earth. And sometimes on these super moons, it can appear visibly slightly larger than normal. It's not just because when you see it come up close to the horizon, as I like to point out, it's sort of an optical illusion when the moon looks huge next to the horizon, then small when it's up in the sky. If you hold your arm out at arm's length and kind of sight along your thumb and look at the moon, you'll see that you know, compared to your thumbnail, the moon is the same size, whether it looks huge on the horizon or small up in the up high up in the sky. But it's kind of interesting. And then there's supposed to be a meteor shower, I forget the name of them, coming up, I believe, on January the 3rd, which if you go out a little after midnight, not after midnight, after the sun goes down. So you don't have to stay up for this one. And they were saying on the news this morning that there should be about 100 meteors an hour, I believe. So it should be pretty phenomenal. So if you get a chance, go out and look at some of those things. It's kind of interesting. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, when we talk about the stars falling to the earth. And I don't know how many times people have looked at that and said, oh, well, that just shows that the Bible isn't to be taken literally because stars don't fall to the earth. How can that happen? Stars are so much bigger than the earth. Our sun is a star, for instance, and the earth is just a tiny fraction of the size of the sun. And our sun's really a fairly modest-sized star. There's many stars that our sun is just a speck compared to them. And so the idea of stars falling to the earth, people say, well, that's just crazy. That proves that the Bible can't be trusted. Well, look at this. The Bible says here in, let's see if I can find one of them real quick here. I just about had it as I was looking over here. We have the angels sounding the trumpets in verse number, let's see, in Revelation chapter 8, we have a star called Wormwood that falls upon the earth. This is Revelation chapter 8, verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, some people tried to say that was Chernobyl, when Chernobyl, the nuclear plant in the Ukraine that melted down. And they tried to say that Chernobyl was the Ukrainian word for wormwood. It's not. You can look that up online. It's the word name of another plant that's related to wormwood, but it's not wormwood. And besides, wormwood is a star that falls out of the sky. Now, how can a star fall from the sky? And here's another thing further down in, let's see if I can find it here in, I'll find it here in a minute, the other stars where we have stars falling from the sky. Let me back up a little bit. I think I've gone a little bit too far. Let me back up to Revelation chapter number 6 here. We got the horses coming out, and we have, there it is. That's what I'm looking for. Verse number 12, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Say, well, how can stars fall from the heavens? Well, you got to understand that in the past, when men looked up into the sky, they referred to every little dot of light that they saw in the sky basically as a star. It didn't matter whether it was a planet or a comet or an actual star. The only exception was the sun and the moon, obviously. And it didn't matter if it was what we would call a meteor today. In fact, the planets, the name that was given to them, that we get the word planet from, it derives from, they were called wandering stars. Remember back when people, there were some people that thought that the stars revolved around the earth, and they would say, but there's these other stars that they don't seem to make a steady circle around the earth. They kind of have retrograde motion, meaning instead of just going one way, they kind of go a little bit, and then they back up, and they circle around. They wander all over the place, and so they called them wandering stars. Well, we call them planets today. We look up in the sky and you see a little reddish dot in the sky. That's Mars. In the morning or in the evening at a certain time of the year, you see an exceedingly bright star in the sky low on the horizon. That's Venus. And you look at other stars at different times that you can see in the night sky, or I'm sorry, planets, and they look like stars, but when you follow their motion compared to the other stars that we see, like Sirius and Polaris and different stars in the sky, they have this wandering path, and so they were called wandering stars. They're not stars at all. We know that today, but that was the name that was used. Well, that brings us another type of star. Remember, I read about Wormwood in Revelation chapter 8 there in verse number 11, the star that fell from the heaven. In fact, in verse 10, it says, a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the waters, upon the fountains of the waters. And that's where verse 11 comes in, says, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. Well, wait a minute. There's another type of star that the ancients looked up in the sky and they described, and they called it the hairy star. Now, the hairy star was a star that had a streamer coming off the back of it. That they called it hairy because it looked like the long hair of a woman being blown in the wind. Well, what it was the solar wind blowing off the body of the comet a stream of particles that reflected light back. And so it looked like it had a tail. And so comets were called hairy stars. Personally, I think that's what Wormwood most likely is going to be, some form of a comet. It may just be a meteor of some sort, which leads us to the next one, where he said there in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 13, where it says that the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. I said January 3rd, I believe it is, there's supposed to be a meteor shower. Well, I know I grew up calling meteors falling stars or shooting stars. There's that word star again. And so the ancients called all these points of light, with the exception, of course, of the sun and the moon, stars. They were the fixed stars, which are the ones we know to actually be stars, like our sun, only much further away, and many times much larger. But we also know there were wandering stars, which we now call planets. There were hairy stars, which we now call comets. And there were shooting stars or falling stars, which we call meteors. Now, how unusual does it seem to be when Revelation chapter 6 and verse 13 says the stars of heaven fell unto the earth? Well, those are shooting stars. It makes perfect sense. There's no reason to misunderstand that. And likewise, the great star that fell from heaven in Revelation 8, verse 10 and 11, most likely was something along the lines of a comet, or at least a very large shooting star. So, you know, it's not hard to understand Scripture, because see, what happens is we try to put into the Word of God things that we define today, and we take things that are in the Bible. And let me give you another example. We were talking at Bible study last Friday night. At the end of the Bible study, we had quite an eclectic topic. We were talking about what sorcery meant in the Bible and comparing that with pharmacy. And then we were looking at some different things, astronomy compared to astrology, chemistry compared to alchemy and different things. And I really don't know how we got onto it, but at the end, toward the end of the Bible study, probably about the last 5-10 minutes or so, we got onto this discussion of rabbits, and we got onto a literal rabbit trail, I guess. But we were talking about rabbits, and we got off on that. And now I've got myself on a rabbit trail, and I'm trying to think where I was going. And it's the end of the year, I guess that's what it is. But we were talking about these stars. Oh, yeah, I know where I was going. And I was saying Coney Island in New York. It wasn't named Coney Island because when the first settlers got there, they found these hot dogs lying around with chili all over them. That's not what it was. Andrew in there is disappointed. That's not what was going on. What was going on was when they arrived in that area where Coney Island is, it had a large rabbit population. And rabbits at one time, especially in Britain, were called conies. Now, there's another animal today not related to the rabbit that we call conies, a coney today, but they were called conies. And so when you look in the King James Version of the Bible, you'll see the word conies. It's referring to rabbits. Now, today, we don't use that word typically to refer to rabbits. In fact, rabbits were called what baby conies were called. So a baby coney was called a rabbit, but the word rabbit gradually displaced the use of the word coney, and people began to refer to them as rabbits. So now that they're calling the adult conies rabbits, they had a need for a name for the young ones, and they start calling them bunnies. So there you go. Small rabbits, bunnies. And so we were talking about that. But we were talking about how, you know, word usage changes. And when you read your Bible, and you see words that are difficult, like this thing with the stars, and they don't appear to make sense when you first look at them, it's important to get your dictionary out. I remember when I was looking at my Bible and I saw the word Amilchkine back in I think it was back in Judges, and I'm like, what in the world's Amilchkine? And I looked it up. It's a milk cow. You know, I looked that up. I didn't have an old 1828 or whatever it is, Webster's dictionary. I had my college dictionary from when I was a student at Colorado State University. Not even a religious college, a secular college. When I was studying wildlife biology and botany and all that sort of stuff. And as I was, I had this dictionary that I used because I came into words, you know, like what is a quadruped ungulate browsing on Forbes in the riparian community? Well, you had to look up some of these words to know what you're talking about. And in my Webster's New World, third edition New World Collegiate Dictionary, I believe is what it was. Not only the words that I found necessary for my biology classes, but lo and behold, words in my Bible were in there. And there was milch for milk. And I guess maybe some people might pronounce M-I-L-C-H as milk to begin with. And then there was the kine, K-I-N-E, cattle, a milk cow. That's what I know what milk cows are. I grew up on a farm. We had milk goats and an occasional milk cow. I understand what that is. And I didn't need any special training. I just needed to know how to use a dictionary. And a lot of the words that people have trouble with, if you just take the time to open up a dictionary, you can learn a lot. You really can. And, you know, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, or study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We study. We learn. When I was in college studying various biological things, I had to learn. I had to learn words. I had an interest in it. Well, it's the same thing with the Bible. I have an interest in it. Well, we got another half hour to go. Hope you'll stick with us and stay tuned for the second half.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website
at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We are live on the radio tonight. I know it's New Year's Eve, and if you're out and about and want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And of course, let me remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral, and you can look us up right there as well. Also want to remind you that we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. In addition to that, we're brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza. Pickup or delivery, call 216-341-9100. And of course, we mentioned them on the air because even if you're outside of the area, I know probably they're not going to be delivering to Florida. It would be probably quite the delivery charge to get down to Florida, and probably can't guarantee that it would get there warm either. But I suppose if you paid for their plane tickets, especially this week, they might be more than willing to deliver to Florida. They might not come back very soon, but we're expected to have very cold temperatures here in the next week or two in Northeast Ohio. But what I was going to say is, if you are interested in opening a pizza business, perhaps you have a restaurant, you need a great pizza recipe, let me recommend that you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think possible. And it's not a franchise. It's his own recipe. He developed the recipe. And take it from me, it's a great pizza. I just had some on Thursday. And I had some leftovers on Friday, I believe it was. Very good pizza. And so I know you'll enjoy it. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here, and we're just closing out the new year here. And I mentioned in the last half hour that I had an opportunity to answer on question or online a question about Michael the Archangel. And the question that I had was, in the Bible it says Michael and his angels fought the fallen angels. Is Michael the Archangel still in heaven? What happened to him? And so I took my hand at answering this. And like I said, there's a lot of misconceptions as to who Michael the Archangel is. And so I had put together a little answer here in order to kind of address this question, and it stems from the fact there's a lot of false information out there as to who Michael the Archangel is and some of what his roles his role is in the Bible. For instance, the Jehovah's Witnesses falsely teach that Michael the Archangel is actually Jesus Christ, and they come up with various things that they kind of take out of context to kind of misapply. And one of them that I thought was kind of interesting, kind of reaching, but kind of interesting nonetheless, over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, when it's describing when the believers are caught out of the world, an event we refer to as the rapture or the catching away of believers. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And they try to say that, oh, see, with the voice of the archangel, that means he's Michael the archangel. It means nothing at all like that. I guess it means he's a trumpet or something. No, it just says when he descends from heaven, there's going to be a shout. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's shouting. And you're going to hear the voice of the archangel, which is going to be Michael. And so that's quite likely Michael shouting as well when Jesus descends from heaven to catch away the believers. And the trump of God sounds, and the dead in Christ are caught up. The bodies are, of course, because the soul and the spirit are in heaven with the Lord. They come back with him to be joined together. And then it says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so Michael the archangel, actually his primary residence is in heaven. He travels back and forth to the earth as God directs, carrying out whatever missions are given to him. And you read about this. I got a caller calling in, so I won't go through all the verses right now, but Daniel chapter 10 talks about this, especially in verses 13 and 21, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Jude, the book of Jude, only one chapter, and verse number 9, all talk about things that Michael the archangel has done. And the battle that the questioner referred to is yet future. It's probably, I believe, the midpoint of the tribulation. It's in Revelation chapter number 12, and it's going to happen in the middle of the seven-year period in the future known as the tribulation or Daniel's 70th week. We get that from Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And it's described as a battle between Michael and his angels with Satan and the fallen angels in Revelation 12. Starting verse 7, it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcome him, or overcame him, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And so as a result of this battle, Satan and the fallen angels had their access to heaven cut off. Michael and his angels, the holy angels, still enjoy full access to heaven. And though Michael is not mentioned by name in the rest of the book of Revelation, he is presumably among the angels in heaven that are witness to the events recorded in the rest of the book of Revelations, including the return of Christ to the earth in Revelation chapter 19. And that's just a quick synopsis there of what the Bible says about Michael the archangel, a created being, a powerful angel, but not as powerful as the most powerful created angel, which was Lucifer, who, of course, fell and became Satan the devil. But neither of them is omnipotent or omnipresent or omniscient. That alone resides with God, and Jesus Christ, being God, has those qualities. He's God in the flesh, the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, 888-677-9673. We've got Marilyn calling in this evening. Marilyn, welcome to the program. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Pastor Al.
Well, Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you.
Listening to your radio program and with Revelation 6, verse 13,
yes,
talking about the stars of heaven and all, I had no idea that the planets were called wandering stars.
Yes.
And also, I never heard of the hairy star.
Yeah, one of the benefits of having a science background, I guess. I learned that in some of my science classes and not in Bible school. Although some people in Bible school are aware of that. I mean, it's not exclusive to people who studied sciences.
Okay, so my question tonight is, you know, it says the heavens departed as a scroll. Oh,
yes.
Sorry, that's 14. I'm going back to 13. I got sidetracked.
Talking
about the stars, and since the planets are called wandering stars,
Right.
I always wondered whether the planets would be playing a part in the end times. As the Earth has fire, as I understand it, the Earth has fire underneath.
Well, yeah, there is a lot of heat. You know, when a volcano erupts, that's where the molten stone, that's what the lava is. That's magma from inside under the Earth's crust where that rock melts and it comes up through cracks in the crust and it eventually comes out the surface in the form of a volcano. And that rock hardens, that lava hardens and forms, you know, new rock. That's one of the reasons why we've never drilled through the crust of the Earth, because think about it, it's molten rock, you know, including iron. Molten iron is in that.
I'm wondering if these planets up in outer space or in heavens have fire in them too, and whether or not there's more planets out there that we're not even aware of. Because the heavens, no telling how far the heavens go into, you know, to where even the greatest telescope cannot see it.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree with you, because we know that a lot of the planets are geologically active where they have molten cores. And one of the things I think when the latest space probe, if I remember correctly, when it went by Jupiter, which has been demoted from a full planet, they call it a dwarf planet now, but they found that instead of being a frozen rock, you know, completely frozen all the way through, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the last space probe that went by Pluto found that it actually has indications of a molten core. And many of the planets do, and the moon has a molten core as well. If you look up at the full moon tonight or tomorrow night, and you see on the side of the moon that faces the Earth these big sort of clear areas, they call them mares or seas, and actually what they are is where molten rock has come up out of the moon and erupted as a volcano on the lunar surface and spread out and formed a kind of level area that hasn't been struck by a lot of meteors to give the cratering that you see, especially on the backside of the moon. And so, yeah, they do have that, but the planets are basically in fixed orbits around the Earth. And what we have that travels in more eccentric orbits that interact with the Earth's orbit or intersect the Earth's orbit is...
They're in orbits, but the Lord is the creator of heaven.
Oh, yeah, he can do that. He can absolutely do that.
He can let them loose,
yeah,
too.
But
they may be in fixed orbits.
Yeah.
He just may let them all loose to where all those planets...
Yeah, but God is an orderly God, and rather than let the planets loose, and actually, keep in mind, most of the planets are larger than the Earth. The Earth is bigger than Mars and bigger than Mercury. It's a little bit bigger than Venus, but since Pluto's been demoted, it's certainly larger than Pluto. But most of the planets are, you know, when you look at Saturn and Jupiter and Uranus and Neptune, those planets are much, much larger than the Earth. If they came near the Earth would be sucked into them. The Earth wouldn't survive. God has, you know, in our solar system, a lot of comets, and a lot of asteroids and things that we encounter, there is some thought. There's a great website called creationscience.com, I believe it is, creationscience.com, Dr. Walt Brown. And he goes into how there are some things that at the time of the flood might have caused a certain amount of material mass from the Earth to have been ejected into space, which would account for the orbit of a lot of asteroids and comets and meteors that intersect the Earth's orbit. And that would be because their origin was actually Earth, not the far reaches of the solar system. And there are some astronomers who do believe that. Not every astronomer believes that the comets originated in the far reaches of the solar system. We also know that there are comets and things, we suspect that there are comets out there that we've not yet seen. And Wormwood likely could be one of them. And of course, they do believe that there's probably one or more planets further out beyond Pluto that we've just not discovered yet. And they've even done some studies which indicate they believe they've discovered planets surrounding stars in other parts of the galaxy. So, there are a lot of other stars, but God is an orderly God, and he tends to put things in place if you think about it. And he's kind of, judicious in his use of the supernatural miracle. Because remember when Jesus fed the multitudes with the few loaves and fishes? He didn't wave his hand and pray and make everybody full. You know, he didn't magically make appear in front of everybody a basket of food. And he made them do a fair amount of work. You know, he said, well, here, go see what's available. And they found the little boy that had the loaves and fishes. And Jesus said, okay, bring them here. And then he prayed and blessed it. And he broke the loaves and fishes. And he passed it to the disciples. And the disciples passed it to the people. And the people finished distributing it among their families. And they had to eat. God didn't just make them magically full. You know, so there's a restraint that God uses because he created a physical realm. And there's a phrase that's used in the sciences called Occam's razor. And the basic meaning of it is the simplest answer is generally, not always, but generally the best. And we have an equivalent of that in Bible study that's called, if the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. And if you think about it, it makes sense, no pun intended. So we have a very easy explanation of meteors and comets impacting the Earth, which makes perfect sense. No need to disrupt planets from their orbit, causing them to break up or anything like that to interact with the Earth. But if God wants to do that, he absolutely could. Because God, right. You know, controls everything. I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
Yeah, he could do anything when he wants to. He could change anything when he wants to.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when Joshua was fighting and he held the sun back, I mean, that was a tremendous miracle when you think about it, because, you know, the whole of the universe is moving. You know, the earth is revolving around the sun. The sun, just like it says in Psalm 19, is revolving in a great circuit around the galaxy. And our galaxy is revolving around a larger galactic cluster. And that in turn is revolving around another area. And so everything's moving. And so when God held the sun back, he had to not only freeze everything in position, but what happens if you were swinging a bucket of water around and then all of a sudden you stop with the bucket over your head? All the water's going to come flying out on you, isn't it? Well, he had to hold all the water and all the wind and everything in place. Otherwise, the oceans would have raced over the continents and the winds would have gone at, hundreds of miles an hour scouring across the globe. And so God just simply froze everything. He can do it because he's God. But God doesn't usually do a whole lot of that unless he absolutely has to.
You never know what he's going to do just as he parted the Red Sea.
Oh, yeah, and I was, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I was just thinking of the parting of the Red Sea, because that, again, goes along with the point. The Egyptians were pursuing the Jewish people as they left Egypt, and they were there on the bank of the Red Sea. And if you look on a map, the Middle East, and you see Egypt and Israel and Saudi Arabia and all of that, there's the Sinai Peninsula, where there's two fingers of the Red Sea that go up on the eastern and the western side of the Sinai Peninsula. And if you go across the Sinai Peninsula, there's an undersea, an underwater ridge that comes from a natural place where the mountains give way to a beach where the Israelites could come down and be protected on the sides by the mountains, gather on the beach while the sea went back. There was an undersea ridge that they crossed across over to the other side where Saudi Arabia is. And on the other side was a matching beach that they could go up out and come up onto the regular dry land at. And so God, you know, he parted the waters, but he didn't magically put them on the other side. They had to go on their own, you know, their own power to get to the other side. He did what they couldn't do, and he allowed them to do what they could do. And so looking at this, the simplest explanation, like I said, it's not always the correct, but the simplest explanation and the plain sense would certainly dictate that the stars of heaven falling to the earth would be meteors, because most of the planets, and there's not too many of them, would have been bigger than the earth, and stars, the fixed stars, would certainly be bigger than the earth. Most of them are bigger than the sun. So the most natural explanation would be the falling stars and the hairy stars, the meteors and the comets, asteroids and such.
Do you think the meteor shower was the 3rd of this coming month, January?
I believe it's January 3rd, and you should be able to go out just after midnight. I'm sorry?
I have never seen a meteor shower.
Oh, you know, it's kind of neat.
After midnight, it's too
not after midnight, after dusk, after the sun goes down. Don't have to stay up too late for this one.
Okay,
and they said it's supposed to be about 100 a minute. You know, you think about it. Sometimes when a active one is visible, it's about, you know, maybe like 50 or 60 or 40 or 60 a minute.
Is this going to be coming in from the east?
I'm not sure. I think you should be able to look toward the north. So if you've got an area where you can look where there's not too many street lights or house lights or something like that, and if you've got a pretty good view toward the north, or anywhere just basically looking even straight up if need be, if you know where the Big Dipper is and Polaris, the North Star, look up in that general direction and just kind of watch around. You know, that's more than one a minute. So almost every 30 seconds, you ought to be able to see something, you know, every 30, 40 seconds.
I've never seen a meteor shower in my life.
Oh, they are kind of neat. I've had the opportunity to see several meteors and watch some of the different meteor showers, not that active, but it's just kind of neat. Sometimes it's just a quick streak across the sky. Sometimes they're a little larger, a little longer lasting. Sometimes you'll see more than just a little white light. Sometimes it'll be a little color to it. That's kind of rare. Usually that's when they're coming in further down. And a lot of what you're seeing is probably just no bigger than a grain of sand, or maybe no bigger than a marble at most. You know, really, maybe most of these meteors. And
maybe the good Lord will add a hairy star in there too.
Well, there's more comets on their way. There's more comets on their way, and we discover new comets and different things. In fact, a lot of the meteor showers that we see is where the Earth's orbit takes us through an area where a comet has passed, and so some of the meteor showers are actually remnants of the comet tail. So it's kind of interesting. But like I said, Dr. Walt Brown has this theory that when the Great Flood took place and the fountains of the earth were opened up in Revelations, in Genesis, where it talks about the flood, and Noah and his family were in the ark, as the fountains of the deep opened up, he was a mechanical engineer, I believe, and he studies forces and masses, and he has some calculations that indicate that the earth would have shot a volume of material into space, which could account for, like I said, a lot of these meteors and even comets and the orbit that they have that brings them back in crossing the Earth's orbit from time to time. But hey, Marilyn, I'm sorry, I just steered the music playing there, and we're coming up on the end of the program. I want to thank you for calling us tonight. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And God bless you. I hope you have a blessed New Year.
You have a blessed New Year too, Pastor Al.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us tonight. God bless you. Have a blessed New Year. Hope you'll join us and tune in next week. We'll be back again, Lord willing. God bless and Happy New Year to each of you.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.